Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. You are listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. This is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Friday, December 14th. The State Audit Committee is the latest group to look into whether Republican Secretary of State Scott Gessler misused public funds. Yesterday, the bipartisan committee voted unanimously to move forward with an investigation. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Scott Gessler is already facing criminal charges for allegedly using his discretionary fund to attend a Republican National Lawyers meeting and the RNC in Florida. Colorado's Independent Ethics Commission is also examining the claims. But Democratic Senator Lois Talktrop of Thornton, who serves on the audit committee, says it doesn't hurt to have another set of eyes take a look.
Our elected officials look bad when you have one person that is using monies that is not for the purpose that it was set aside for, and that's why we want to make sure that we're doing this.
Statewide elected officials get $5,000 each year to spend on state business as, quote, they see fit. Republican Cindy Acree of Aurora chairs the audit committee and supports looking into Gessler's finances. But Acree says she's not convinced he did anything wrong.
I don't want this to be used as a media opportunity to jump to conclusions. It's not unusual that people piggyback trips, but I certainly think we need to be sure that our tax dollars are properly spent.
Gessler's office has said everything's been above the board, and he welcomes the investigation. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
5 months after the Aurora movie theater massacre, Governor John Hickenlooper now says the time is right for state lawmakers to consider gun control measures. Until now, the Democratic governor has resisted calls to review state gun laws after the shootings in Aurora. Hickenlooper told the Associated Press that enough time has passed since the tragedy and that the legislative session in January would be an appropriate time to take up gun control measures. In a related story, while the number of Coloradans seeking a concealed carry permit for a gun has skyrocketed, the ease with which people can get certified is coming under scrutiny. The Denver Post reports that Colorado has unusually lax laws compared to other states. Certification for the permit can be as simple as watching an online video and taking a free test. That stands in contrast to getting a hunting license, which requires a minimum of 10 hours of classroom instruction, plus a written and shooting test. The Post reports that data shows that as the number of background checks for firearm purchases soars, so do the checks processed for Colorado concealed weapon permits. And even staunch Second Amendment supporters agree that online certification process, especially compacted into an hour, is concerning. But Roger Leach, owner of one of multiple online courses, said the certification done on his website is just as informative as the classroom process and not against the law. The Post reports that there are many other concealed carry certification courses offered in Colorado conducted in a classroom setting. For more on this story, see the Denver Post. Montrose will soon have even more public recreation land near town. The Montrose Recreation District recently voted to purchase 26 acres of land for future public recreation. The district used money from its Conservation Trust Fund, which comes from lottery sales to support parks and recreation infrastructure. The district bought the land located on the corner of Woodgate and Ogden for nearly $300,000. Executive Director Ken Sherboneau says the land will allow them to better meet the recreation needs of the community. The last time the district added outdoor recreation amenities was with McNeil Fields in 1995. At the Stone Quarry in Marble, operators have just cut a new opening into the massive marble deposit. Production at the Marble Quarry, just over McClure Pass, is moving at a fast pace and expanding. After shutting down during the recession, an Italian marble company purchased the mine's operations and restarted cutting white marble blocks out of the mountain last year. From Aspen Public Radio, Roger Adams went inside the mountainside quarry and has this report.
Entering the marble quarry feels about like driving into the Eisenhower Tunnel on I-70. Once inside, though, it's a different world. You're in a giant cavern. The scale of everything here is huge.
This is the smallest area of the quarry right here. So it's, you know, it's only probably less than 100 foot high right here.
Gary Bascom is the quarry safety superintendent.
Then we get into the next area, which is about 150 foot. We get out into the main opening where you see a lot more light. That's almost 300 foot floor to ceiling.
We are inside the marble deposit, the vein of bright white calcium carbonate that runs through White House Mountain just at the edge of the town of Marble. The deposit is some 350 million years old, and it runs about 3 miles. It's nearly 500 feet tall and about 300 feet wide. Marble from this site was used to make the Lincoln Memorial in Washington and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. Way up on the side of one wall is a small hole that served as the entrance when the mine was first opened around 1886.
Well, they blasted their way in, you can see. It's the same sort of system we do today, but not like that. We have big machines now that actually, we cut the tunnels with the chainsaw.
Right.
So it's all cut clean, no blasting. I mean, it's a very safe job.
Unlike a coal mine, for example, this quarry is very open. There's lots of light from the entrance tunnels and from a network of electric lights. There are huge machines working in here, from loaders that lift room-sized blocks of marble onto equally large trucks to massive cutting machines. Imagine an oversized Zamboni with a large saw on one side.
It's just like a regular wood chainsaw, just 50 times bigger.
That's Luke Hamilton. He used to be a coal miner, but now operates a saw that cuts vertical and horizontal lines into the wall of the marble mine. The cuts are about 30 feet long and 20 feet tall.
And we'll start with a floor cut. So we'll barrel this over. It'll be underneath. And then it'll cut the floor. And then we'll move up and we'll cut the next two horizontal cuts. And then run a wire saw around it and cut it in smaller pieces so the loader can handle it.
Everything here is at a gargantuan scale, including weight. Marble is a heavy stone. A cubic foot weighs 170 pounds. The blocks removed from the walls are impressive in both their size and weight.
This is a block that's just been cut, that's been graded. You see the number on the side, and it's been sold.
Kimberly Perrin is the corporate secretary of Colorado Stone Quarries, the Italian-based company that owns the mine. We're watching as two of the huge blocks are loaded onto a truck. The truck shudders under their heft.
And this block's probably about between 30 and 35,000 pounds. This truck can haul down about 60,000 pounds.
The market for this marble is strong today, says Perrin. Right now, the mine is producing and shipping about 1,000 tons a month. It travels from Marble to Houston, Texas, where the blocks are then loaded onto ships and taken to Italy for processing. Sculptures, like the Lincoln Memorial aside, the vast majority of marble from this mine is used for tabletops and floors or walls. Only about one half of 1% is used by artists.
Artists come and they ask, you know, well, I need a piece this big and I need it to be this way and I need it to have this and this and this. When we have to cut for an artist, it is the most time-consuming, most demanding.
The quarry and the marble deposit shut down operations in 2009 when the economic crisis devastated the construction industry. A year later, the quarry operations were sold to Enrico Locati Luciani of Carrara, Italy. His factory in Carrara takes the raw marble blocks and processes them into countertops and tiles.
In Carrara, we are using to work in a bigger scale, so a big advantage in terms of recovery from the material that we are producing.
Luciani is a third-generation marble cutter, and he restarted the marble quarry last year. Business has been good. In the near future, says Luciani, he plans to cut the costs of shipping the raw marble to his Italian factory by opening a factory here in Colorado, probably in Rifle or in the Delta area.
Maybe using a factory here, the material can remain in Colorado, can be work in Colorado, giving more employment in the area, giving the possibility to become a pool of marble in Colorado like it is in Vermont or another part of the world.
When marble for the Lincoln Memorial was taken out of the quarry, about 120 men worked the mine. Today, using Italian-made saws and Italian production techniques, the entire operation is run by just 18 people. I'm Roger Adams.
That was Roger Adams of Aspen Public Radio. The Bureau of Land Management is seeking public comments on its environmental review of a trail system north of Ridgeway. The BLM has put forth four alternatives for an interconnecting trail system on public lands. The Watch reports that the agency's proposed action would change the travel system from about 15 miles of routes to include about 19 miles. More than 12 miles of the routes would be newly designated, and about 7 miles of existing routes would be closed. The BLM says the project required specific analysis to ensure that the Ouray County gravel pit is in compliance with regulations. The Watch reports that the area surrounding the gravel pit will be closed to all public entry except for authorized personnel. For more information, visit the BLM's website. Written comments should be submitted by February 1st to the BLM's Uncompahgre field office. All Points Transit is starting a new policy for its Dial-A-Ride service for seniors and people with disabilities. The new policy, called Ready Window, asks passengers to be ready for their ride 15 minutes before their scheduled pickup time. A bus that arrives 15 minutes before and up to 5 minutes after the scheduled time is considered on time. When the bus arrives, it will only wait 5 minutes for passengers before moving on. All Points Transit says the policy change is an effort to increase overall efficiency and enhance customer service, after noticing its drivers were experiencing extended wait times for passengers. All Points also hopes that the change will help them accommodate new passengers currently on a waiting list in Montrose. All Points Transit provides Dial-A-Ride service in communities throughout Montrose, Delta, and San Miguel counties. The National Mule Deer Foundation is launching the Uncompahgre Mule Deer Chapter in Montrose. The chapter's first annual banquet and auction will take place on January 26th at the Holiday Inn Express in Montrose. The foundation says that as urban areas continue to sprawl and more people build homes in rural settings, mule deer and their habitat will suffer. The Mule Deer Foundation promotes the conservation of mule deer, black-tailed deer, and their habitats. And that concludes your local newscast for Friday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. Brian Cambria will be back with you on Monday. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.